You're listening to Community Radio WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and streaming online around the world at weru.org. And this is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we talk with some of the organizers of the upcoming National Earth First Round River Rendezvous, which will be taking place here in Maine in a few weeks. The National Round River Rendezvous, the Earth First annual gathering, is going to be taking place in Maine this summer. And here to tell us about Earth First and what the Round River Rendezvous means and what you can expect and whether or not you might want to attend is Storm Waters, who is a regular guest here on Radioactive. Welcome back, Storm.
Oh, thank you very much.
So let's start with just defining terms. Earth First, you know, people have different ideas in their mind about exactly what that is. So let's start there.
Okay, I would define personally, and I'm just speaking for myself, you could probably get as many answers to these questions from individual Earth Firsters as there are Earth Firsters. So Earth First is basically a no-compromise, revolutionary ecological stance, working to stop the altogether abject destruction of life on Earth. We are living through the greatest mass extinction in Earth's history. There have been six great mass extinctions throughout Earth's history, and this is the sixth, the greatest, the most rapidly transpiring one, and the only one that's entirely human-caused. We are looking at a mass loss of ecosystems and biodiversity around the world, in Maine, in North America, and around the world. And Earth First is a group of people that are working to stop that. We are people who put the Earth first in all of our decisions, making as much as possible in an effort to reorient our way of thinking and our way of believing and our way of living and our way of working to a more Earth-based or ecocentric way of doing things. It's probably not a secret to most people listening that we live under the shadow of a runaway corporate capitalist behemoth that's just destroying life on Earth. I mean, we saw what happened in the mines in West Virginia. We saw what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. There are a handful of people making a tremendous amount of money profiting off this destruction. And Earth First came together at the end of the 1970s. When a group of people living out in the Rockies, specifically in the Wyoming and Montana area, came together and were disgusted with the fact that the environmental movement of the 1970s had really fizzled and become something of a, you know, a glossed over white liberal milquetoast kind of corporate tie straightening outfit of a handful of people that were making a lot of money, essentially, you know, kowtowing to corporate interests while saving little bits of, you know, token wilderness here and there, or maybe getting a species listed on the Endangered Species Act. And the runaway destruction, you know, that had been gearing up the last several centuries wasn't slowing down. It was accelerating. You know, we're talking about over-harvesting, over-hunting, habitat loss, and you know, the abject fouling of water and the water and air, and the fact that the environmental movement, as it was at the time, wasn't really accomplishing much of anything to stop this. So they came together and started Earth First. Earth First is not an organization. It's not something you join or sign up or pay dues to. It's an ideology, a way of thinking, a way of believing, and a way of living. And Earth Firsters use direct action to stop the destruction at the point of the destruction, or at the point of planning, for that matter. There have been some examples of that here in Maine already with Plum Creek's debacle up in Moosehead Lake. You know, many of us went through the process and, you know, talked to the public, spoke to the commission, and really went through the mainstream channels in order to get our point across, and we were ignored. So, you know, more recently, you've seen people taking nonviolent direct action, and I do want to specify nonviolence. You know, Earth First has a prime directive: you harm no living thing. So, you know, Earth First has kind of spread all around the world since the 1979, 1980. There are Earth First groups everywhere in the world. And we had the first Round River Rendezvous up in the Cache Valley in Montana, or in Wyoming, in 1980. And it's gotten bigger and bigger ever since. The Round River Rendezvous is a, I can't remember. I have a hard time remembering this. I think the Round River Rendezvous was a Round River was a term. I can't remember if it was Thoreau.
I think it's John Muir.
John Muir. Thank you very much. Okay. So it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek. Don't do what I did when I tried to go to my first Round River Rendezvous in Colorado in 1992, and I called up the Forest Service and asked them where the Round River was. I bet I'm not the only person to have ever done that. But every year, on the first week in July, Earth Firsters from all over the continent get together at a particular location at the edge of the wilderness. And this year, this will be happening in western Maine outside of Stratton. And we strategize, and we, you know, skill share and do workshops and trainings, and we hike and we swim and we hoot and holler around the campfire and play music. And it's a really awesome networking opportunity. You know, like, I'll use, again, because it's coming up in Maine here, June 29th through July 6th, I'll use Maine as an example. You know, a lot of folks in Maine who are really just disgusted with the corporatization of the state and the loss of their jobs to mechanization, to outsourcing, and while watching their favorite places be destroyed, you know, ecosystems being trashed, air and water being fouled, that sort of thing, may not necessarily know who else in there in Maine is concerned about these as well. So if folks come to the Round River Rendezvous in Maine, they're going to meet a lot of people. They're going to meet a lot of people from Maine, and they're going to meet a lot of people from New England. They're going to meet a lot of people from Northeast. They're going to meet a lot of people from other places in the U.S., other people from around the continent, and indeed other people around the world. You know, we have people periodically that have shown up from New Zealand, Australia, Europe. More recently, with our work in solidarity building with the anti-globalization movements and our work with the climate movement, we have had seen more and more activists from Central and South America have actually come up to the Round River Rendezvous. So it's really neat when, you know, somebody, you know, a down-home Mainer local lived there all his or her life comes out to the rendezvous and finds out not only that there's a whole bunch of other people, some of them his or her own neighbors, that are really concerned about these issues and want to pull together and stop pussyfooting around and actually do something to stop the destruction post-haste. But they also find out that there are people all over the world of this mindset who are trying to do this work, who are trying to stop the destruction of everything and everybody, for that matter, and the destruction of the earth and life, and that many times they are facing down the same corporations. Plum Creek is a multi-tentacled beast. Nestle Waters is a multi-tentacled beast. What they're doing here in Maine, they're doing in many other places around the continent and around the world. So it's an awesome networking opportunity. It's an awesome opportunity for people to pull together, share ideas, and decide how they're going to go about stopping the destruction. And many times we don't even know how many of us are around until we pull together in these situations. So I would encourage anybody that wants to learn and network with people and try to preserve what little is left of Maine's, you know, ecological heritage as well as the cultural heritage and way of life to come to the Round River Rendezvous outside of Stratton June 29th through July 6th.
You know, Storm, it's in light of what's happening, you've mentioned a couple of the recent catastrophes and what's ongoing in the Gulf now. It is ironic, but I'm sure there still will be people who refer to Earth First as being terrorists who never would consider maybe calling BP oil a terrorist. And as the rendezvous gets closer, there may be more of that going around. How do you respond to that and let people who are just considering possibly going or think this might sound interesting, what do you say to them to reassure them that they aren't plugging into a group of terrorists or, you know, what is the group of people that is going to be gathering there? What are they really like, and how welcoming is it to people who might feel like an outsider going into it at first?
I'm glad you asked that, Amy, because the key word, you just said the key word several times, people. That's who and what we are. We're people. And it's, you know, terrorists is the latest buzzword. You know, that's, you know, in the 1990s, they used to call us cult members, pagan cult members and things like that. In the 90s, cult member was the buzzword. In the 80s, 70s, it was communist. You know, I mean, that's just the sort of thing. It's a way of marginalizing people who represent any kind of a threat to the status quo, to the political and corporate status quo as it stands right now. As I mentioned earlier, there are a handful of people around the world who are profiting immensely from abject death and destruction. We're seeing this in the Gulf. We're seeing this in the Amazon rainforest. We're seeing it in the Arctic tundra. We're seeing it in the coal fields of central and southern Appalachia. And anytime anybody steps up and points the finger and draws a line and calls attention to this madness, they get a label pulled on to placed onto them by the corporate media. That's a classic case of corporate spin doctoring. This whole, you know, you're either with the terrorists or you're with us, this whole sort of us or them kind of mentality. And what's happening is people are being duped into believing that anybody who questions the status quo is somehow suspect of being some kind of violent individual or group of individual. Again, I can't stress this often enough. Earth First has, you know, we don't have rules, we don't have membership, we don't have a board of directors, any of that kind of organizational thing, but we do have something of a prime directive, which is, you know, in our actions, we harm no living thing. So terrorist, eco-terrorist, this is an attempt by people who are either misguided or the people who are actively working to do the misguiding.
How is it made a comfortable place for people who are from so many different walks of life? You mentioned geographically, people are from very different places often who show up at these. How is it made so that people will all feel comfortable and welcome there? Or does everyone feel comfortable and welcomed at a gathering like this?
Well, you know, it's like we are a hardworking bunch of people, and, you know, we sometimes get a little crazy around the fire at night, that sort of thing. You'll be seeing a lot of different people of different, you know, subcultural and countercultural backgrounds there, as well as, you know, just, you know, local working people and farmers and what have you. So there's a definite mix. Sometimes there can be a bit of confusion, a bit of friction, but the uniting thing is a love of Earth and life and a desire to network with people and to learn from each other on how we can perpetuate an Earth-based philosophy, an Earth-based way of thinking. It is a primitive camping kind of a situation, so you are roughing it a little bit. We do try to, we do provide things like, you know, there is a medical camp there and some very skilled people in health and healing issues. And, you know, there are people involved with food production, that sort of thing. And, of course, anybody who has these skills is more than welcome to come out. You know, this is as much about sustainable community building and restructuring the way we live our lives as it is the direct action aspect. I mean, we don't ever want to lose sight of the direct action aspect. That's the sort of thing that makes Earth First what it is. Frankly, if you're not comfortable with, you know, rowdy protest, if you're not comfortable with the possibilities of being involved with things like, you know, road blockades or office takeovers, that sort of thing, the sorts of things that really get the issue into the forefront and get people thinking about what's going on and call people's attention to the madness, then you might want to give it second thoughts. Now, nobody's required to participate in anything or to think any particular thing or to be any particular thing to be there. Just know that you're going to be, if you come to the Round River Rendezvous in a few weeks, you're going to be meeting people who are about very confrontational tactics, not violent tactics, but confrontational tactics, because, frankly, direct action gets the goods. I believe it was Margaret Mead who made the comment about a handful of people essentially making a lot of noise is the only thing that's ever changed anything, and she's largely right about that. And Earth First is a classic example of that. But it is a safe space, you know. It is, you know, we are not there. It's a non-judgmental space, and you may see some things you're not used to seeing before, but these are just different people with different approaches, but with the same united philosophy regarding the Earth and life.
How many people typically show up?
You know, that varies from location and from year to year, but we have seen anywhere from a minimum of like 200 to 300 some years. I know that in other years there have been as many as 800 to 1,000. A lot of times that depends on where it's happening. Some places out west, you know, we've had them in California before, we've had them in Idaho before, where a lot of people have come through. Not necessarily 800 to 1,000 people all at once, but a lot of people pass through on their way to and from other events and gatherings. It's summertime and a lot of things will be happening. So, but I would say minimal we see 200 or 300 people.
And the structure of the day, it's been a few years since I've been to one of these, but it typically starts with sort of a check-in meeting, and then people break up into workshops, and there's an opportunity for people to sign up at the beginning to give workshops if they want, or attend workshops all day. Is that still the way that's done?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we convene in the morning and, you know, discuss any issues that need to, pertaining to, you know, the upcoming day. People announce their workshops. And then, you know, people, there's no formal structure, nobody that anybody has to participate in. You know, some people, I get really busy at a rendezvous. I attend a lot of workshops. I give a lot of workshops. Sometimes a rendezvous for me can be a really high-energy kind of almost labor-intensive event. For other people, well, they just take it easy. They swim or they hike around, and, you know, I do a little bit of that too. But, I mean, there's no... There's many different things going on. There'll be nature and plant walks and hikes and various workshops and skill shares going on and trainings and everything from, you know, nonviolent conflict resolution to tree climbing and tree sitting, you know, that sort of thing. So that goes on throughout the day. And then sometime, usually in the evening, people convene around a variety of fires, campfires, basically for socializing and revelry. There will be, you know, spaces where people will be partying, and there'll be other spaces that will be designated as sober spaces, quieter spaces. There will be places for, there will be a kids area and activities and people involved with children. And so people are encouraged to bring children. People are not encouraged to bring their dogs. If you bring a dog, please keep it on a leash because we don't want dogs running around in the space, and that creates a lot of problems. You know, don't bring a bad attitude, but bring a willingness to learn and network, and I think almost anybody can be comfortable there.
All right, and at the end of the week, there's an action planned, which even if it was already decided now, I'm sure nobody would discuss it on the radio ahead of time, but can you tell us a little bit about what some of the actions or protests following Round River Rendezvous have looked like in past years, sort of what people might expect from something like this?
Well, I think the most poignant example that I can give you is the last Round River Rendezvous that happened in Maine in 2004, when our illustrious governor, John Baldacci, was really, really pushing for the liquid natural gas development offshore. Now, like, we're going to trust anybody who wants to drill anything offshore at this point, right? Well, in 2004, people may recall that that was a big thing, and Baldacci was pushing it hardcore, and we paid him a nice little visit. A couple of hundred of us occupied the grounds of the governor's mansion in Augusta at the end of the last Round River Rendezvous in Maine. It was, I believe it was July 5th, 2004, and we sent a very, very clear message, blockading his driveway and what have you, that Mainers are not interested in liquid natural gas development offshore. So we do this at the end of every Round River Rendezvous, and the Round River Rendezvous is held, you know, in a different near wilderness location in the continent every year. So, for instance, last year we were in Oregon, and Oregon's state forests were being hit really hard with development. So we occupied a proposed timber sale and sat in the trees in western Oregon last year, and sat. People were up in those trees for a couple of weeks and totally confounded the efforts to log those trees. So. Some, you know, every year at the end of the rendezvous, we have several hundred of us. We get together and we find somebody who, in the particular region that we're in this case Maine, is making life difficult for human and non-human people who live there, and we pay them a little visit. And again, non-violent, but we're quite confrontational and rowdy, and we make damn sure that we let them know that what they're doing hasn't escaped our notice, and we do everything in our power to make sure that everybody who tunes into the news that day. It doesn't escape their notice. So, you know, we don't necessarily know who's going to who we're going to visit at the end of this Round River Rendezvous, but I think, as you and a lot of our listeners probably well know, there's a number of viable targets who have been kind of licking their lips and looking at Maine for a long time and trying to figure out how to sink their veins into Maine's jugular vein and sink their teeth into Maine's jugular vein, if you will, and make themselves even richer. And we're going to let them know that that's not okay.
All right, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. The more of us, the better. The only problem with Earth First is there just aren't enough of us. So give this some thought, and I hope to see you all there.
All right, thanks for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
That's Storm Waters. Joining us now to tell us about Earth First in Maine and what they're working on is Ryan Clark, a regular guest here on Radioactive. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
What projects are... or is the Earth First movement involved in here in Maine?
Well, our primary campaign over the last several years has been trying to stop Plum Creek from developing the Moosehead Lake region, which I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with and I've talked about in the past. But currently, we're working on bringing together a lot of the issues that we've worked on, and we have a broad campaign called the 4 W's, which stands for wind, water, waste, and wood. and wind being industrial wind power projects on remote and pristine mountaintops in Maine, primarily in western Maine, is where we've been focusing on. Water being private water extraction from Nestle and Poland Spring. Waste being dump expansion and out-of-state demolition debris incineration, as well as biomass incineration, which is becoming a big issue, and wood being Plum Creek, as well as other forest issues, the way that large corporate landowners control the North Woods and destroy the land.
And so are these specific focused campaigns that people can plug into? How do these tie into the rendezvous that's going to be taking place here in Maine?
Well, the rendezvous will have workshops and presentations focused on all of these things. We're hoping to have each day have a whole track of workshops and discussions about one of the W's each day. So there will be local community groups that are working on these issues there that people can get hooked up with and plug into. And it's sort of starting to be a coalition of other groups, not just Earth Firsters. So hopefully the rendezvous will have plenty of opportunities for people to get plugged in to those campaigns, as well as there's always action after the rendezvous. And this year there will be one that people can plug into. If they come to the rendezvous, they'll find out more specifics about where that action or protest will be. We do have a website with information about what we're working on, and that is maine.earth-first.net. People can contact us through that if they want to get involved and find out when meetings are and that sort of thing.
Okay, and what else should people know if they're considering going to their first rendezvous? And they're going to go to this one. What should they know about this particular terrain and what to anticipate, what the environment is like?
Well, this year's rendezvous is slightly different than past rendezvous and what they traditionally are, in that it's being held on private land, which we have permission to use by the landowners. And it's just outside of Stratton, which is in western Maine, off of Route 27. And it's fairly rugged. I mean, we'll have access to water, and there will be a community kitchen, but we are encouraging people to come as self-sufficient as they can with water and food, and be prepared to camp out for a week or however long you want to stay. The rendezvous is the national gathering for the Earth First movement, so there will be people from all over the country talking about what they're working on in their bioregions, and it'll be set up so that people will be camped out. We'll have spaces. We'll be offering medical services. We'll have a medic tent. We'll have a community kitchen, like I said. We'll be offering child care. So contact us if you have any needs for that sort of stuff or can contribute to those things. And generally, it'll be a week of information sharing, strategizing, and networking, as well as time to party and have fun. There'll be campfires at night. We're encouraging people to bring performances and art and music to share, as well as their presentations and workshops. So each night there will hopefully be a campfire with people sharing music. Saturday afternoon and into the night will be the Earth First rally, which will be basically trying to get people pumped up for the action, which will happen after the rendezvous, and that will consist of all kinds of performances and music and poetry and political rants to get people fired up. The site is approximately 7 miles from Stratton, so it's not far to go to town. There is a grocery store in Stratton, so it's not as backcountry as some of them. It's fairly accessible. The site will be set up so that the parking area will be about 3/4 of a mile to a mile from where people are camping, but if people aren't able to walk that far, they can drive in and drop off their gear. We'll have the road into the site open for limited access, such as that. Bring a tent, sleeping bag, food, and water. We're asking for a suggested donation of $25 to help cover food and other expenses in putting on this gathering. $25 is fairly inexpensive for a week-long gathering. So, but if you can't make that, then no one will be turned away. You know, we're also asking people to donate food if they can for the community kitchen, bring ideas for workshops and music and performances, art, and et cetera.
All right, so let's do the dates again and the location and mention the website where people can get directions and more information.
Okay, the rendezvous will start on June 29th and go through July 6th, and it will be about 7 miles outside of Stratton in western Maine. And to contact us for more information and specific directions, you can go to our website at maine.earth-first.net or email us at maine@earth-first.net. You know, we're excited to host this event and look forward to meeting new people from around the state and around the country, and hope you can try and make it out to join us.
All right. Thanks for talking with us today. And that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco. You can listen to our archived programs on the website weru.org. And if you'd like to send us feedback or story suggestions, you can email us at news@weru.org. Be sure to put Radioactive in the subject line. Join us again next Thursday at 4 for Radioactive, and stay tuned now for Hightower, coming up next, followed by Free Speech Radio News, Democracy Now!, and as always, an evening of great music here on your community radio station, WERU-FM.